that one day Israel would be seen of God in the face of affliction. And so we see there that he looked upon my affliction, and God saw the affliction of the Israelites in Egypt, and God saw them there, and under the rudeness of the taskmasters and all that Israel endured, God saw. And you know, we can also think of the fact that God sees each one of us, doesn't he? His Son, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, God wants you to see his Son, to see him, to look to him, because he's the only answer, isn't he? To see the Son and to recognize that it's only through him can we have salvation. And in our life, in living for him day by day. And so it's the first son that is born, name meaning, has the word son into it. Let's go to the second one in verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And Simeon means hearing, to hear. It speaks also of Israel when they are yet to be in Egypt, but God will hear their cry. God will have mercy upon them and will hear their cry as they face such rudeness under the hands of the Egyptians there. But God's ear would be open to the cry of those that are afflicted. And you know, we can think too of God's hearing for us. Faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. And we need to hear. We not only need to see the Son, and he is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. We not only need to see him, but we need to hear him, don't we? We need to hear what God is saying, that we're born in sin and we're lost, and because of the sin of mankind in the garden, it carried right on through. As for one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and we see that because of sin and because of man's rebellion, man needs to hear. They need to have their ears open to the truth of the Word of God, that man truly is a sinner and that he needs to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's how our hearing is really open. We begin to hear spiritual things. We need to, that our ears, that we're dull, that we're dull in hearing, and but God has opened our ears and given us spiritual ears that we can hear the things of God. It's so important that we see and we hear. And then in verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Levi means joined, to be joined. And God wanted in his plan to join with the people of Israel. And that was his sovereign plan, that he himself would come and dwell with his people, that his presence would be with his people, and that he would be joined together with Israel. And reminded when they were in Egypt, and remember the night that the Lord joined to his people. Remember that night when the Lord had told the children of Israel to take a lamb, a pure lamb without spot, and to take that lamb and to slay it and put the blood upon the doorpost. And when he would see the blood, when God saw that blood there upon the doorpost, that he would pass over them. Judgment would pass over them. And you know, it was God himself who was there in their presence. He was the one who was passing over. He had joined to them at that moment in time that God sought to redeem his people, Israel. He joined to them and he saw their affliction. But God joined up with them that he might redeem them from the hands of wicked men. And when he saw the blood, he said, I will pass over you. Let's go to, and he also says, I will, this time, will my husband be joined unto me? I've borne him three sons. I want to just to look at Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. Jeremiah 31 and 31 speaks of the new covenant that God will make with Israel. 31 and 32. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. The new covenant that he would make with the house of Israel. He's referring there to the new covenant which was established in through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament, the new covenant, they're synonymous, as we see in the Word of God. There's the new covenant that he would make with the house of Israel. And that's his blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Just as that lamb whose blood was shed and placed upon the doorpost, so his blood was placed upon the cross there as he hung there on the cross. His blood that was shed there for us. His blood was that which redeemed them. But now notice, although I was an husband unto them. He was a husband unto them. He joined with them. He was married unto them. And if we go to Hosea, we see there the picture there of Israel as a wife and God is the husband there, and so on. You can read it there in Hosea. God wanted to be a husband unto them. He wanted to be joined to them that they might recognize that his presence with them was a meaningful relationship, and it was very important. And so God had joined to them. We can also think of the fact that we've been joined to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith in his work on the cross of Calvary. And God has joined us in recognizing us through his Son, the complete and finished work of the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that we could be joined to the Father and to be one with the Lord Jesus Christ together. And the Lord Jesus' prayer was that we might be one, even as I am one with thee. And so we see here the truth of the fact that we're joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God wants us to be joined with him. Reminded too that one day Israel will be joined in a harmonious and hallelujah chorus together with the Father. That they will be forgiven. They will be restored in relationship back to the Father. Now let's go to verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left Barry. Judah means praise. Praise. Not only was Israel redeemed from Egypt through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the only way they could be redeemed, but they were saved from the enemies. They were saved from the enemies that were round about. Exodus 15 speaks of the song of triumph that Moses and the children of Israel sang. What a great song of triumph as they were praising the Lord for their redemption from Egypt. And you know, they triumphed over their enemies as God, when they came to the Red Sea and God parted the waters and they were saved from the enemies of Egypt. And God did a marvelous and a miraculous work in saving them from the enemies. And you know, we have a lot to praise the Lord for, don't we? He's redeemed us. He's bought us with his precious blood. He's done so much for us. And as we sang this morning, how much we owe. Gladly will I render to him all I am and have. How much do we really realize and convicted in our hearts and minds? We owe him so much. We're indebted so much for the redeeming us from the slave market of sin to a life that is heavenly, a new life in Christ, a life that is eternal, a life that is counted for God. We need to praise him. We praise him in worship as this morning as we praise the Savior, ye who know him. We need to praise him and to bring honor and glory to him for all that he has done. We're going to go to chapter 30 and verse 6. And Rachel said, God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son. Therefore called she his name Dan. Dan means judging, doesn't it? To judge. To judge oneself. And reminded of the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. how they murmured against God. They murmured and complained against God. Why have you brought us out in this wilderness to die? We could have died back in Egypt. And they murmured and complained. And they had no food and no water, and they were murmuring and complaining. And God supplied their needs in giving them water as Moses smote the rock, and out came water. And then as God fed them from heaven with the bread of heaven, and he gave them food to eat, but they had murmured and complained. And you know, so often we fall into that, don't we? That we murmur and complain about things about us. And we murmur spiritually sometimes. Lord, why have you allowed this to happen? Why did this come into my life? But you know, God has a reason, doesn't he, for everything. And you know, we can murmur against God, and we can become bitter against God. But you know, in doing that, we need to look at ourselves and to judge ourselves. And once we judge ourselves according to the Word of God, then our murmuring and our complaining and our bitterness, when we see it from God's eyes, will be recognized that they're of naught. And God will deal with that in our lives. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul speaks about that the Lord, before we come to the Lord's Supper, we're to judge ourselves and to take a look at ourselves within us and to see what our motives and our intents, our thoughts are of our heart. You know, I believe God is greatly saddened when he hears of the murmuring and the complaining amongst believers. And unfortunately, we see a lot of that today. We see a lot of that. When that happens, their eyes are not focused on the Lord and his work, but very often it's something that Satan can use to bring, to hinder God's work in unity and in working together. How important it is for us to judge ourselves that truly we are what we ought to be before God. And then in verse 8, we see, and Rachel said, "With great wrestling, I have wrestled with my sister. I have prevailed," and she called his name Naphtali. Naphtali means wrestling, to wrestle. And God dealt with Israel for their sin of murmuring at Meribah. In Exodus chapter 17, that God brought judgment against them. And you know, God's wrath was kindled against them. And God was very angry with them. And we see that after they had murmured and God dealt with them and God allowed the Amalekites to war against Israel. And the Amalekites speaks of the flesh. And they were, Israel and the Amalekites were wrestling. And they were warring against them, one another. You know, when God told Moses to lift up his hands, and when he did, Israel prevailed. But when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. And you know, Amalek is a picture of the flesh, isn't it? And Moses, a picture of the believers. And as we lift up our hands before God, that we will recognize that God's Spirit is the one who is working within us, will lead us into the truth of the Word of God. But when we put our hands down, the flesh wants to prevail. The wrestling between the flesh and the spirit. And, you know, we need to be in the Word of God and realizing that we need to spend time in His Word and allow the Spirit of God to lead us in the way that God would have us. How important it is. There is that wrestling that is there within our lives. The wrestling of the flesh and the spirit. And that's why we need to get into the Word of God. So that was another phase in Israel's life. And as Naphtali's name, meaning wrestling, that God would judge Israel for their sin of murmuring and complaining. We're going to go on to verse 11. And Leah said, "A troop cometh," and she called his name Gad. Gad means a troop. And why was it called a troop or a company? Well, again, these thoughts are concerning the prophetical prophecy that would take place in the birth of the nation of Israel in their historical account of Israel, that these names, the meaning of the names, would show the part that of Israel's life there in the wilderness, and then ultimately crossing the River Jordan. And so, as they left the wilderness, and as they crossed over the Jordan, was a troop that met them. It was a company that met them. And these were the seven nations of the Canaanites that lived there in Canaan. There was like separate divisions, like of people, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and so on. There were seven of these gatherings of people that came as a troop, as a company against Israel. And so, as they came upon Israel, they had opposed the occupation of Israel in Canaanites, but God drove them out, and Israel would occupy that land, that promised land. So there was a gathering that came against Israel. And you know, it is today when we think of the fact of the company, the troop, that as a believer, we're to realize that the victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That as the enemies come upon us, the world has so many enemies to the truth of God's Word. You're faced with enemies day by day, spiritually and verbally, and in many different ways. We face the influence of Satan, who is the god of this world, day by day. We're faced with that. But you know, it's only the Lord that can keep us on the right path. It's only Him. And as Israel came to, as they crossed over the Jordan, speaking of the victory, and speaking of the fact of God going before them and giving them the victory, and that they would ultimately occupy the land of the king of Canaan as a promised land that God would give to them. So it is. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's only through Him can we get the victory. The victory over sin, the world, the influences upon us can only be through the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross of Calvary. So important to see the names that were given to these sons. And I went through half of them. I went through six of them. And there's much that we can learn from them. And as I mentioned, that Paul writes that these things are written for our learning, and that God is revealing His sovereign will. And His sovereign will is that which contains His plan and His purpose for Israel both then and for Israel today and in the future. God's plan is unveiling for them. And the tremendous message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ seen through these names, and many practical truths that we can see for us day by day as we go about day by day, and we can learn some practical things that will help us day by day in our life with Him. The last son that whose name was mentioned was Benjamin. And his name means the son of my right hand, or the son of sorrow, and then it was changed to son of my right hand. The first one, Reuben, see a son. The last one, the son of sorrow, the son of my right hand. And as you can put them together in your mind, that it's the Son, God's Son, is the one who is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end, and He's the one who's supreme. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace is upon Him, with whose stripes we are healed. He's the Son of my right hand, the Son of God's right hand. He's seated there at God's right hand. And in God's time, He's going to come back and receive us unto Himself. What a wonderful Savior we have. And as we think upon these names, God has a real message that we can learn. Father, we give You thanks for Your word. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank You for these Old Testament patriarchs whose names were given, and the meanings of them, and how it penetrates through the whole Word of God, and revealing the great plan You have for Israel. And Lord, we see the fulfillment of those names. They were spoken aforetime, but the fulfillment came to pass as Israel went through the suffering and endured so much. We give You thanks, Father, for the fact that You redeem us through the precious blood of Your dear Son. The only way that being separated from You, yet we can be redeemed and brought back and have fellowship with You. We give You thanks for all that you've done for us. Help us as we go our ways during the week, that you might guide our steps and our lips and guide our hands, that we might serve you and live for you. In Christ's name, amen.